So far, yes, no, maybe?
Yes.
Open, call the meeting to order, approve the minutes of 7:15.
Who's still talking? Do you want me to do my hair today?
No.
Hello!
Whoa!
There you go, baby. Thank you. I ask permission first. Hey, I'm a good yeller.
Mr. Chairman, I can approve the minutes of the past two meetings.
Yes, second.
3 minutes.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, we have Andy here tonight on Resolution 271, appropriating funds from the district attorney.
Nope, that's not that one. That's for the DA's office.
I'm sorry.
He's on the opposite side.
What's the opposite side? The other way.
Here it is. It's 315.
We're going to take that out of order just so that Andy has the court tonight, unless you want to stay and see everybody's lovely faces.
Greatly appreciate it.
No? Okay.
Want to move it?
And we're going to move 315. Moved it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion.
Any discussion? What's that? 315. Any same price as it was in the past, or is it slightly higher? What is it?
I believe it's higher than we were paying before because we need more space.
Right.
For those who don't know, I'm Andy Kossover, your public defender. And what happened is when we got the third family court judge, we were bumped out of the back of family court. We are in very small quarters up at Golden Hill right now. It was supposed to be temporary for a couple of months. It's now about 10 months, I guess, 9-10 months. And so we're having space problems. We're having confidentiality issues because there's another department sharing our space, and our clients can't access us. Plus, we're violating American Bar Association and New York State Bar Association rules by having security downstairs. Many of our clients are not permitted to come to our office without being ushered by a deputy sheriff. So, of course, many of them turn around and walk out. So we need to get back uptown. There's probably, as far as I'm concerned, only two departments in the county that should be near the courts, and that's, of course, the district attorney and the public defender. And so we have negotiated a very favorable lease to put us upstairs of the bank across the street from County Courthouse. And I'm here to answer any questions you may have. But that's essentially what we're looking for.
Did you say that was on like the second or third floor? It's on the second or third floor?
Second floor, elevator, handicap bath, everything is good.
It makes sense to be close to the courthouse.
Thank you.
Obviously.
Yeah. Any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you all.
Have a nice evening.
Enjoy the rest of your summer. I'll see you next week.
Okay. All right. All right. Resolution 271, appropriating funds of district attorney for forfeiture reserve account ending amending 2015 Ulster County Attorney's Office. Move.
I'll move it.
Second. No second?
I seconded.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear anything.
Chris Allen, second.
Thank you.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 300, approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000 entered by County United Way of Ulster County, Department of Social Services. Can we bundle 300, 301, 302 together?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor on bundling, say aye.
Aye.
On the resolutions 300 through 302, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We didn't make a motion.
Make a motion. James, second by TJ. Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 303, approving the execution of contract amendment in excess of $50,000 for Buddy County, the Children's Home of Poughkeepsie, Department of Social Services. Moved by?
I'll move it. Second.
Moved second. Carl?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions about the contract. And I've been in touch with Ken Cornell this past 2 weeks about the contract. It's a contract amendment for $900,000. The contract period of the first contract started December 2014, so I assume that the contract didn't actually get executed until 2015, and that was for $975,000. So now we have an amendment for $900,000 in the same contract year. And the questions I had were, last month we had two other contract amendments for the same services for foster care. Jewish Family Board of Children's Services and St. Catherine Center for Children. And then there was another amendment for this William Green Agency. So all of these contracts basically doubled within the contract period because of an amendment. Now, I know when I emailed Ken, he explained to me that a lot of the kids that are being placed in these homes are special needs kids, and you elaborated tremendously on exactly, you know, what the conditions are. I won't go over that. But the fact of the matter is that the contracts doubled because of the amendment, and that's a big pinch. We pay 35%, I believe, 34 or 35% of the total of those contracts, which basically, between the contract period of all four contracts, is $1.25 million. So where is that money coming out of? Because I looked in the budget on the social services line, and I can't see a foster care line. I see family and children's services. Don helped me out with trying to nail the contract number to where they're taking it out of the budget, but there's no money in there. So I don't know where the money is coming from. I mean, that's a big chunk of money.
Can you answer?
I certainly can. I know, Carl, I did an extensive emails back and forth with Carl and members of the committee since last week. First of all, this is not an increase in the number of children being placed in foster care. This is a realignment of where they're being placed. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. A lot of these children have extreme therapeutic needs. These are victims of sexual assault. These are children with extreme psychiatric problems. These are very expensive clientele. We're required by state law to provide these services, and we do. We also put in consideration the location, where, you know, what program best meets their needs, but also what program makes it easier for members of their family to visit them. And so we structure. In fact, last year, the legislature had approved a contract with a home in Colorado that we had arranged for, so we could have someone being seen with his mother, so his mother could visit this child. So there's nothing out of the ordinary here. This particular contract, we had done our initial estimates based upon an average of three placements in the facility. The actual, we're actually placing five children in this program. So we're amending the contract to increase the not to exceed, so we can accommodate more children. There's not an increase in children, just that they're staying. We're putting them in programs closer to their home than others. But also I included the following spreadsheet to Carl in the email that I sent him. I'd be happy to give him the details. The lines that we expend from for this program, we're within the budget for 2015 that we had budgeted year to date, and we project that we're within line of our spending over the last several years. It's not an increase.
Answer your question, Carl.
You know, I never got a chance to download those because I only got them yesterday.
But it was included in the last email.
Okay. Yeah, because I read the email and it didn't mention anything about the budget lines. Can I get a copy of that?
Sure, right here. I believe this is the one I sent you, Carl.
The concern that I had was just that I couldn't find out where we're spending the money, was this going to come out of unallocated, you know,
no,
out of the
fund
balance?
These are budgeted funds. We're within the budget as we had projected for 2015.
So the budget is not going from $900,000
to... No, this is a realignment of where the children are being placed, not an increase in children.
Tracy?
Can I just ask for clarification? So the $900,000, it says amendment amount. What is that, the not to exceed amount, or what
we're raising the not to exceed amount to
by $900,000?
I don't have it in front of me, but yes, it's a substantial increase because we're planning on an average of five children in the program and not the three that we originally based the contract projection on.
And so, do you know what the not to exceed amount is?
No. I don't have
the amount to exceed amount, which is increasing it by $900,000, is $1,875,000. So the original amount was $975,000 plus the $900,000 is the $1,875,000.
And that's for five.
Carl just asked.
So it is going up.
Yes,
but other things are going down.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
The
amount that we budget and expend for this type of programming is within what we budgeted and consistent with, you know, prior years.
And just to clarify, that $1,875,000, that covers five children for 1 year?
What we do is we basically are doing a projection based upon, you know, patterns and trends. We originally had, you know, we planned on, you know, possibly, you know, having enough for three children. We're doing five children.
Carl.
Well, the thing that concerns me, and I'm just going to go over one more time, because I know a lot of committee members don't know, you know, haven't seen them. But being on the health committee, I've seen these contract amendments come through this year. So the original contracts, there are four agencies that we deal with. $300,000, one contract, $250,000, $378,000, and $975,000. $975,000 was the Children's Home, Poughkeepsie. The additional amendments are for the same contracts, $300,000, $250,000, $350,000, and
$900,000.
So it's double. So,
but Ken is saying that money's going down elsewhere, so we just have to find out where the money's going down elsewhere.
Well,
right?
I don't think that he has control of that. If the state is telling us that we have to take care of these special needs kids, and we had three last year and two this year, and it's going to cost us basically $1.3 million for the contract year when it should have been like $975,000.
We expend $3.7 million annually on these children. It's detailed in the sheet that I printed.
But what I'm hearing, I'm sorry for me, what I'm hearing from Ken is that if we're ending up at the same number, that means that other numbers are going down. Right?
There's not more children, just we're replacing the children.
Right. So there have to be lines that are decreasing if other lines are increasing. That's what you're saying. Right.
Again, these are rates. These are a daily rate per child, and the children are moving around to different programs. It's not, we're not increasing the number of children. These are contracts with not to exceed amounts. So we're just raising the not to exceed amount to accommodate for the amount of placements we're doing in a particular program. It's not, you know, just because there's a not to exceed amount doesn't mean we're expending that much funds in that program.
Don?
So I'm just curious, is this already budgeted for in the budget? Are we doing inter-fund transfers?
This is the budget. What we budgeted within what we expect, we had planned on expending.
All right, so we're not moving money around the budget to take care of it? All right.
No. Again, these are not to exceed contracts. We have one with all the programs that we place in. And we do an initial calculation. You know, we expect, you know, we need to have a not to exceed of this amount based upon this number of children. But again, we base this on 13. We had in 2013, we had three children on average in the program. We're now finding that we have five children on average in this particular program. That's why we're in
this same
place. Well, before we go any further, so everybody's on the same page here from what I understand here. We have this money in the 2015 budget. We have it allocated into different areas for different uses, different name recognitions, whatever the case may be. We are moving that money around within to accommodate everything without expanding the total amount of money.
No, it's separate from that, Rich. The money for foster care placements is budgeted for. We're expending within that budget appropriation. We have not exceeded it, nor do we expect that we will exceed that in 2015.
But the thing is that the different areas within is being altered.
The funding supports the placement of children in different homes around the state, even out of state. We are moving the children. The children are being placed in different programs.
Mm-hmm. So wait, can I ask? So they're currently in foster care. So you're taking them from one, like the Jewish families one, then putting them over to the
or
to group
kid
of
ages
kids
out, and we have a new kid join. Determined this is the most appropriate placement for the child. This isn't, you know, foster care like a child that you would put in a foster family. These are children with very serious needs, with severe trauma in their life. They need extreme, you know, supervision and psychiatric care. It's very expensive. We're required to do it by state law. We contract with numerous facilities all over the state and even out of state. And again, this is basically a program in Poughkeepsie. We always want to make sure that you not only put a child into the most appropriate setting, but also that you try to keep some support network for that child. So we tend to try to move kids to the programs that are closer to where they live, so that their families can visit them.
Tracy?
So just to clarify, because I'm hearing different things all over, it's budgeted for in the overall number for foster care, but it's not as if other lines are going down. Because Carl's saying there are right now four providers that he's
there's more than four. Okay. There's four that we've amended to increase the not to exceed amount that he's referring to.
But there's no specific lines that are going down to make up for it. It's under the umbrella of the overall number within budget.
Right. Instead of buying, again, we're expending what we anticipated expending. We're just spending the dollars at different facilities. That's all.
Any other questions?
Just that contract amendment would suggest that you didn't expect.
Again, but you know that again. You know, you, again, it's a complex process. Again, I'd rather have the children in Poughkeepsie than down in Westchester, or depending on the. You know, it's again, it's not only the program that best meets their needs and meets their requirements, but also you want to have some continuity in their lives and put them as close as they can to their families, so their families it's easier for their families to visit them on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, the explanation of their needs is what's needed. It's very expensive. I mean, only two kids more than they had in the original contract, and we're adding another $900,000.
These rates are cost-based rates. They're set by the state of New York. We don't negotiate the rates. The rates are established by the state. We contract with the facilities that best meet the needs of the children that are in our care.
And we have no oversight over this. So, Chris.
So, Ken, taking these contract amendments into account and the increase that has to be budgeted and spent forward, how much cushion room would be left based on what was anticipated to be budgeted?
We are on track to meet our budget projections in 2015.
So, there's no cushion room left, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that we're not spending more than what we planned on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
For 2015, 2016.
Right, you could always budget more.
You're anticipating.
Meaning our 15 budget. Yeah.
It's a year thing and only 6 months.
Yeah. But again,
it depended on how many kids are in the program.
I want to be very clear with the members of the committee. There's not this dramatic increase in children requiring this type of care. We're within what we estimated.
But I mean, and it was out of state. But also, to be clear, I mean, if there were a dramatic increase in children that required the care, we would have to do it. I mean,
even though we don't have it in the budget, yes, we would have to do it. Okay? I mean, it's a mandatory thing that we have to do. It's our obligation to do such by New York State.
Right.
And we have to take that responsibility and also a financial responsibility.
I would either have to move money from another line or come back to the committee for additional appropriation. We're not at that stage at all.
Right.
Yes?
The good thing about this is it's only 4 more months to go. If it looks like it's going to go over budget, and it's going to go over budget in January, February, March of next year, you just budget next year's budget. You don't have to tap into it. You don't have to take money from reserve this year. You just see that the money, maybe we're spending a little bit ahead of what the schedule would be.
But we're not taking any money out of reserve.
No. I know that.
He
said that.
We place the kids closer to home.
I know
you're saying.
Well, come next budget season, which is...
If it were January to December 31st, then you might get jammed up and have to budget late in the year if you run short. But since it's two fiscal years, you can always, in January, budget.
Well, you can budget, but the thing is, we do our budget on an annual basis. So we have to do our budget this year for next year.
I know that. Okay. With a contract like this, you can make up extra...
Well, you're saying you go pay for it next year.
Yeah, if you're running short. Right. You have to do it this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's no budget problem.
You'd have to do that in October of this year.
During our budget process, yes. Any other questions?
The budget is this year, though.
Just eye-opening, that's all.
Unfortunately, that's our responsibility. Any other questions? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 304 through, if you allow me, 312.
I'll second it.
All in favor, bundle them. 304, 305, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right. On the resolutions, moved by?
I'll move it. I'll
second. Second. Any discussions on any of those resolutions? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 313, confirming Ulster County intention to join a network and enter Net Bandwidth Consortium and authorizing Ulster County Boats to act on the county's behalf for the purpose of securing a bid for Internet Bandwidth Department of Information Service. Move. Second.
Second. Quick question, Rich.
Yes.
Ken, do you know how many towns did contact BOCES to see if they could get on that?
Bob, was it four? That's last I heard. I thought it was four.
Four. Any town is eligible to join in.
Sure, correct.
There's been some interest. Not an abundance of
it. Okay. We've done very well with these BOCES bids. I think everyone's done
very well. Thank you.
Tracy?
How did we reach out to all the towns?
It's not our the BOCES is the main person coordinating the bid. BOCES does the outreach.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Still not too late. Tracy, it's not too late. Have him call.
Well, the problem with the towns is that if they just have cable access like Time Warner, they're going to need to upgrade their infrastructure to be able to handle a fiber connection to the ring, because it's a specific sonic ring specific to Ulster, Orange, Dutchess, and Sullivan County. So it's not as easy as just getting on and paying the $14 per megabyte. It's probably about a $300,000 or $400,000 investment.
Do we know what towns already have that infrastructure in place?
I know the town of Esopus has it, but they can't use it because the county has a sheriff substation in there, and there's fiber in that building. But we can't use it.
But other than Esopus, have we done some analysis of what other towns?
No, I don't think we have. I mean, probably whoever has a substation in their town hall has fiber going in there.
I'm sure if you have BOCES, they probably would know. Yes?
What are the four towns that are signed up for this? Do you know?
There's four towns that have
expressed an interest. And they are?
New Paltz, Ulster, maybe Saugerties. The larger ones have, but I really haven't gotten that back. It was after Jim. Legislator Maloney called and said what was the eligibility, and all I did was ask BOCES to reach out to the town.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I got an answer. The problem is it's a lease of the line. It's not just you're paying for what you use. So it would probably cost towns more than by going with their Time Warner connection or whatever, unless it was a large town like maybe the town of Ulster or Saugerties.
Yeah. All right, any other questions?
Has anybody reached out to the city of Kingston? They've been complaining about the fiber issue there.
Bob, is it too late to have anybody participate?
Aware.
Oh, they're aware?
Yeah.
All right, anybody knows any other town, contact BOCES and tell them about it, and hopefully they can work together. Any other questions? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 314, approving the execution of a contract between the County of Ulster and Ulster County Economic Development Alliance to implement the recommendations of the Ellenville Million Committee, amending 2015 budget, Department of Planning. Moved by.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Before we get to discussion, I know there's been some talk about this regarding. And I don't think anyone has a problem with the intent. I think the problem remains in the fact that how many people actually have, legislators have actually participated into this, and, you know, why one agency got so much money versus another agency. I think legislative body should have had a little more input, a little bit more knowledge, been working together to come up with the finalization of what we see before us tonight. And so saying all that, I asked Susan to come tonight to actually explain how they got to this point, how some of the workings of this particular resolution and these agencies that are within this, and she can answer probably some of the questions. So, Susan?
Stand.
Please, if you feel comfortable.
Yep.
Okay, you want to stand on the table?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Just so I can see everybody.
Mr. Briggs, and because it's your town, you don't have to be out of line now. Relax.
No, I was helping reach out with a question concerning Senator Bob.
Okay. Susan?
Sure. So, Suzanne Holt, I'm the director of the Office of Economic Development, and in the county executive's 2015 State of the County speech, she created the Ellenville Million Program. And in February of 2015, mm-hmm. the committee started meeting. It's a committee of business leaders and prominent citizens in Ellenville. And they were charged with coming up with, and this is actually on the heels of the Neville and
That's
Ellenville not
same.
Getting Neville. But the village of Ellenville and the town of Wawarsing really coming together to work hard to get the Neville. And so a coalition was formed, and so this was a way of continuing that work and to get them to continue to want to, ways that they saw to improve the economic condition in the Ellenville-Wawarsing area. So the committee met many, many times. They held public hearing I know Legislator Briggs was at the public hearing, and they came back with a report, and the report is what is really, they divvied up the $1 million, how they thought it would best help to spur economic development in Ellenville. And we put together a contract so that the money would, to the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, which both legislators Briggs and Maloney are members of, would oversee the implementation to ensure that the county's money is spent in the ways that were intended by the Ellenville Million Committee and as they're set forth here in the plan.
Any questions, Tracy?
Well, I mean, I have a lot to say. I voted against this in committee. I'm not in its current state prepared to support it, and I can go into some details why, but I want to begin by saying, at the least, the financial impact needs to read $1 million. I realize it's a technicality, but it is $1 million cost to the county, and to say none, I think, is a problem.
Where does it? I'm sorry.
Right here. This is just a technicality of the resolution.
It was supposedly changed.
Okay. So that's begin with that. It wasn't. I think that. Well, I don't know. I think, Rich, that you're correct in saying no one questions the intent, and I'd go further to say no one questions the need of Ellenville or Worsing area. My problem has to do with, first of all, what I realize it's not directly a grant to Ellenville, but creating this commission sort of outside of the legislature and allowing a commission to come up with recommendations, event this right now, our oversight stops this minute. When we pass this $1 million, it's out of our hands. Asked specific questions in committee, for example, into the tourism, Mr. Kelly, who was on the commission, said, well, actually, our plan for the $100,000 for tourism was for the county's tourism department to do that, which was, on my read, I thought, why wouldn't our own tourism department do this? So then it begs the question, why is there $100,000 going to the EDA to come back to tourism? When I asked about project management, $75,000 for project management, including allocations oversight, the answer was there is going to be no one new. It's going to be done through the EDA. So what is the $75,000 actually going to? I'm concerned about
things
like...
Can I answer these questions?
I just want to air. I'm on a roll.
I'm sorry.
I'm concerned about things like the $150,000 to high-speed internet. I want to know what the whole project is. What's the big picture? Are we just throwing $150,000 at high-speed internet? Carl just said high-speed internet. It costs a lot more than that, even when we're talking about just getting fiber into one building. So is it actually going to affect change? Is $25,000 for Main Street improvements? What is it actually going to? $75,000 for Shadowlands. You know, we have a process. I'm not opposed to giving Shadowlands $250,000 through our own process in looking at the arts and weighing the need in the county. I'm just, right now, at this minute, I don't think this is the appropriate way for us to move $1 million 2 months before budget time. Who knows where I'll come by next week, but it's going to be a lot to surmount, including budgets for each of these nine buckets.
Do you want answers to your questions?
Yeah, but I'm saying some of them are big-based questions, not micromanaging questions, which is what was brought up at our meeting as well. When Mary Beth and I started asking questions, members of the commission said, I don't think you want to micromanage. Well, you know, that's what I'm elected for to some degree. This is $1 million. I'm signing off on $1 million if I vote yes, and that's my last say. So I have to speak up right now.
Anyone else?
Well, can she answer?
She does want to.
Well, no, you can answer any questions that there were. I mean, all right, I'm throwing a lot out there.
There's a couple more of my questions, too,
okay.
Believe it or not.
Let's go through each one of them, if you kindly would.
Sure, yes.
Okay.
I'd be happy
you remember
to.
What they all were, number
well,
one?
Well, actually, if you wouldn't mind, I'll just go through all nine in
okay.
the order of the contract, and this way I hit every one of them.
That's
and
good.
I can explain what we're planning, what the direction that we've gotten from the Ellenville Committee and how we're planning on addressing it. So starting with the water and sewer infrastructure, it is our understanding that...
Hold on, Susan, before you proceed any
sure.
further, I mean, we can go through the nine applications or nine?
Nine's take
nine components.
Right, it's going to take a period of time, okay? We have till 6 o'clock. We have public hearings tonight, correct? What time is it?
Five of them.
Six o'clock?
Six.
All right. I'm not sure that we can get through everything and do everything in ways and means. How about if we postpone this to have a meeting prior to our ways and means meeting of next week at what's time our ways and means? 5:30?
4:30. Yeah, but Mr. Chairman, once we do that, then we have with the questions.
Well, so we could have a meeting with Suzanne and Jacob, bring whoever you like. We have the questions answered. Get it resolved that night if possible, and you can vote on it. So I'll be on the same.
Right. How about if
we're able to come to some conclusion, you can vote. If not, we hold it all.
If we look at the other five resolutions we have tonight, take care of those, and come back to this. Well, we could try to address it and try to start the process, because otherwise, people are going to have questions based on the answers.
Okay.
And we're going to be treading water, facing the wrong direction.
All right. Well, let's move through. Yes.
Just a question: Is there? What if it gets delayed? What's the impact?
Suzanne.
Because this is rushed.
Right. I mean, I know that a number of the projects are eager to get going, but that nobody's going to die if it gets pushed back a month.
I owe you money.
You are who money? $1 million you're paying for? Oh, okay. Yes, Mary Beth.
I just want to say, because not everybody was here from the economic, and like Tracy said, along with her, I also voted no, and I just want it stated in the budget and finance meeting that, number one, I mentioned that this should have been part of the budget process. I mean, it's right around the corner, and that's what our budget process is for. And number two, if it couldn't be, because it has to be rushed, like everything, then this should have been its own meeting. And we're still rushing. We're still trying to jam everything in. We're looking at the clock, just like we were at economic development. And like Tracy said, the financial impact of the none is just, it needs to be changed. So I'm still me and Tracy are both still on the same page.
Well, I think, you heard very clearly that I don't think anyone's against the county financing these projects.
No.
I think the question becomes that the county legislative body, from what I hear from different people, or majority that way, or some of them, have some concerns. How do we get to this point? Why we pick $100,000 for this project, $50,000 for that one, and so forth and so on?
Well, that came from the Allendale Marine Committee itself.
Understand. But I mean, there again, I think we should, since we're telling our taxpayers that we're paying or we're going to approve $101 million, that we should feel comfortable whatever those numbers are.
Sure.
Don?
Something that, maybe I have it wrong, but something that I think is right, hasn't been said yet, that we're the intermediary in this, that we pay the money out and then we get money back for it.
What?
No, they pay the money out and then we pay the different agencies.
This is strictly a county.
What you're thinking of is that the county will receive approximately $1 million in 2016 from the casino impact dollars.
Right.
For this region. And so that we're looking at dedicating.
So are we dedicating that money to this?
Pretty much, yeah. For the first year, yeah. This is an ongoing revenue.
So okay. So we're going to put it in perspective. Let's put it in the perspective of. When we put things about impacts, when we get monies coming back from someplace else, then we show both. But so far, we haven't utilized. If that's what we're going to do, we haven't utilized that.
I wouldn't get hung up with the fiscal impact. I think that's a typo. It's $1 million. This is $1 million expenditure of dollars.
Let's be real. We're going to have to change that. There is an impact of $1 million.
I understand. It's not that, but we just haven't.
We're giving the taxpayer
money without getting anything in return. When the intent is to get this money back from
This is some of the most economically challenged areas of this county. It has some of the highest unemployment in the state.
Absolutely.
Okay, no one's questioning that. I think everybody's on board helping that area out to whatever degree we possibly could. There again, no one questioning that whatsoever. The question becomes, since they're being delayed with the gaming license up there, is that going to affect the 2016 monies that Ulster County is going to receive?
No.
Not at all? Okay, even though they have not received a license yet?
We've been working with the state budget office doing our budget projections. We think we're good with our estimates. So.
All right.
But listen, we're happy to answer any question you have today. If you want to have a special meeting, tomorrow. Next week, we're happy to provide staff and answer the questions. Again, this is well thought out. This came strictly from the community, and we're happy to meet anytime, any place.
Rich?
I just want to say, you know, just looking over a couple of these, the Shadowland Theater, and I'm not opposed to this down the road. I'm not supporting it tonight, but Shadowland Theater has been given grants for 15 years from local senators and assemblymen. We used to have a when we used to give grants to contract agencies, we used to give it to them.
So what were those grants? Can you name them?
Every year, I don't know. We used to give them $10,000.
A contract agency grants, yeah.
They've always, the Hunt Memorial, like, and you corrected me, they were given $200,000 matching grant.
I know they were given money.
But I'm just saying, if we're giving, sometimes you got to, maybe outside eyes need to look at where the money goes, because these folks are requesting the same.
When's the last time you were in the theater?
3 years.
Okay, so go on down and see what they've done.
Listen, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. All I'm saying is maybe when we're continually to give money to the same organizations and they still have the highest unemployment, they still have the highest needs in the county, maybe the money's not going to the right places in the community. Maybe, what I'm saying is maybe instead of having the folks from Ellenville decide where the money goes, maybe we need somebody from the outside looking at the community that has had success in revitalizing other communities to say, maybe the money's better spent here in your community. Maybe it's better spent doing shovel-ready sites. Maybe it's better spent doing something else. That's all. And I'm not saying they're going to say that, and I'm not trying to badmouth these, but when we're giving money to groups that have received money, you read about them all the time. These assemblymen and the senators are giving grant monies to these places. And here we are doing the same thing. Has unemployment gone down since these grants have been given to them? Probably not. It's probably higher now than it's ever been. So we're going to give money to the same things that we've been giving it to, and it's still a highest needs area in the county. That's all I'm saying. Maybe we need outside eyes deciding where it goes instead of people that live there.
TJ?
Look at the economic development that encircles the theater. With the growth of the restaurants in the area, the number of people that come into the theater, the tax revenue that's created, that's all what this is about. That's what this does. You know, every time you put $10,000 in the theater, that's like nothing. So, you know, if you go down there on a Friday night, you can't park on Canal Street or Center Street or Market Street because of the cars, because of the restaurants and the theater and so on and so forth. That's what this is about. This money is going to not-for-profits, and it's all about economic development.
Let's put some charging stations down here for the electric.
Come
car
down and see.
Come on, Rich. Come on, Rich.
We actually have one.
Okay. They have one. Has anybody used it?
Yes.
Yes.
But here's the thing.
From New York City.
Hold on, please. One at a time. Lynn has the floor.
The fact of the matter
is, we're going to get bios.
That's where it should go.
Rich.
The fact of the matter is, it was business people from that work in the community, that live outside the community. It was not just people in the community looking at it. I mean, they looked at issues that crossed town and village. So it wasn't just a group of people, the same group of people looking at the same issues. This was a business group that came together. They talked to people in the community. It was not just a back of the envelope, what are we going to do? So I do give credit for the process, because the process was all-encompassing. People in the community were able to bring to the table their ideas, their plans, etc. So it wasn't just the same old group of people. And I thought it was a thoughtful, high-level process that said, here's where we can do some work. Now, what we may have an issue with now is how the money gets moved, what happens once we approve this. That's a process issue. Some may still have concern about the money to the community, but I think it's important for the Wawarsing Ellenville community to invest and help them kind of kickstart their economy. And there's been proven results.
So you're saying if we give them the $1 million, you're going to say their unemployment's going to go down. They're not going to be the big... All I'm saying is there's no guarantee this is going to fix anything in the community. You may put a Band-Aid on it for a year or two to help keep something open, but...
No,
Where do you start?
What it does, Rich, is...
Air conditioning?
And I think they are. You know, look at... look at the money that people locally are investing within the community, but it begins the process. It begins the strengthening of the foundations. Remember, we lost Schrade, Hydro. We had the most industry in anywhere in Ulster County there.
If I can also just say this, if there's $75,000 in there that is supposed to help us to leverage other money, we're talking about contracting with potentially, Pattern for Progress or other organizations to help us do grant writing, to help us turn this $1 million into more than $1 million. That's also part of the goals of this, because, a lot needs to be done, and we can't do it all.
All right, Lester, we're not going to get through this tonight. I mean, let's be real. We have other stuff before. Hold on, Ken. I would ask the board to have a meeting next Tuesday at 4:30 prior to our meeting to go over. Susan, if you'll kindly be there and bring Ken, whoever you want to bring there, go over this whole thing. Have legislators open up the full legislative body, air it out, and have questions answered at that time. And at that point, if we can conclude, we can bring it up next week to move it forward. If not, we'll hold it over another month. Everybody in favor of that?
Yes.
Yeah, aye.
Anybody have any concerns with that?
Can I just say one thing?
Quickly, yes.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
It sounds like what everyone is saying to me is they'd like to see an economic impact statement for how these funds will affect the Ellenville area economy, and maybe that's what needs to be prepared.
Well, I don't think it can be done, to tell you the truth. But, Susan, you think it can be done? I don't see how it can. No.
I didn't hear
that. All right, everybody. Hold on. Everybody all right? Need a motion. Moved by?
Table.
Motion to table this. Second. Postpone it, not table it.
Postpone
it. All right? Also, that we're going to set a meeting next week at Tuesday at 4:30. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Yes.
Don, bring every legislator's invited. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. All right. Resolution 316, Capital Project 392 through 402, HVAC weatherization, various county building, Department of Public Health, Public Works. Move. Carl, second.
Second.
Discussion. Please. One meeting, please. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 318, authorize the Commissioner of Finance to accept a New York State Environmental Conservation Office to purchase a parcel of county-owned real property in Town of Lloyd, authorize the Chairman of Ulster County to convey such property. Such parcel, Department of Finance. Moved.
Move it.
Second. Discussion. Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 319, moved by.
I'll move it.
Second by.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
320, authorize the conveyance of the county-owned property to the original owner, Department of Finance. Move.
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 321.
Sales tax
extender. This is sales tax extender opposing. Authorizing the sales tax. Moved by.
I'll move.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is that on track?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. 322, requiring the payment of living wage to employees employed by the County of Ulster to a minimum 17 hours per week, per calendar week, or 34 hours per pay period. Moved by.
Can we postpone that?
Which one?
Is he making a motion?
You want to make a motion?
I'll move. Motion to postpone.
Can we move on for discussion and then postpone?
Because we want to get.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, well,
Bob's here.
Hold on one second. We do have some. We have Mr. Sudlow here bringing up the family court update. We have two other items. What kind of discussion would we like to have? A very long discussion, very short?
Are you postponing until next week?
Yes.
Next month. But can I just, I would like to see.
Hold on, we haven't done that yet. So
so there's a motion to postpone.
And there's a motion to discuss.
Yeah.
All right, I'll.
Is there a second?
Retract, Mike.
All right, retract. Motion to discuss, second. I will limit the discussion. Second. All right. Tracy?
Can we see if it may exist already? I asked Vicki about it, and she said that it wasn't there. But can we see a financial impact for this? I know that it was stated that there's no full-time impact, but this has to do with employees who are 17 hours per week, which I don't know if that is that full-time. So I'd like to know. Okay, so that's part-time. Right. So can I see exactly what the financial impact of implementing this would be by the time we have this next discussion?
No. Also, you may be voiding the union contracts by doing that. Because if someone comes in and CSEA is a grade 6 and they come in at starting at hiring rate of $11.62 an hour, we can't now pay them $15 an hour.
So can we have people speak to that prior to the next discussion?
Yes,
just to raise the issues that we need to do.
John?
Part-time people. All right, on the 29th of the month, we asked for this data.
Okay.
And on the 30th of the month, I didn't really expect anybody to happen today. And on the 31st, and I think Bert's on vacation right now.
Okay.
This is, we certainly have to get that information.
Yeah, well, like
hold on. I think I called up Bert's office. He's on vacation on Friday. I was told that they were going to work on some information. Ken called me today. He said he had the information prepared. I do not have it as of yet. Ken, do you have it?
Yeah, I do have it. It's pretty very simple. I mean, first of all, you know, I was surprised to see this resolution. You know, one, the concern about collective bargaining.
Hold on. Before you do anything, do you have the information?
I do.
Can we have the information?
I will tell you the information. It's really simple.
You don't have it in writing?
Yeah, we want to see it. I don't want to give you the names of the employees, but it's really simple.
We get a personnel list.
I'm going to tell you right now. There are no full-time employees impacted with this. Every full-time employee in this county, after January 1st, makes more than $15 an hour, period. So that was easy, right? Remaining that as of January 1st, there are 6 employees that will make $14.72, so 28 cents an hour less than $15 an hour. Again, these are all CSEA members, all 6 of them. Of 170 less than half-time employees, there are 6 that make $14.72 as of January 1st. Again, through collective bargaining, through negotiation, this is the way it is.
So January 2016. It'll increase in 2016.
Yeah.
Okay.
So using the terms of the resolution, there are no full-time employees making less than $15 an hour. There are 6 less than full-time employees making $14.72 an hour.
So what happens why
can't we have this information in writing? I understand, but you have it on paper there. Why can't you photocopy and give it to us? All right. So we will have it in writing.
My sheet has social security numbers on it.
All right, but you will provide it.
Yeah.
So what happens to the 1472 people?
If what? If they get a raise to $15,
they're going to automatically get bumped with this.
Exactly right. Tracy?
I think I know the answer to this, but I just want to ask. So the part-time employees, summer employees like that work at the pool, they're not paid directly out of county funds, right? We pay some service to pay them. So they technically want to be covered under this?
They don't meet the definition that's included in the resolution.
Okay. It was excluded. Seasonal employees were excluded from this.
Seasonal is excluded.
Okay. Carl?
I just have a concern, and it's not related to the resolution, but you said that your copy has Social Security numbers. And we went through this 2 years ago. We were all given a copy of personnel records with Social Security numbers, and that was a mistake. The only people that should have Social Security numbers is the payroll department, okay? And when you're doing a report, we spent a lot of money on our financial system. It should block out everything but the last 4 digits of someone's Social Security number.
I'm a deputy
number.
County executive. I can see Social Security numbers.
Is that really?
I can look at the paper. Right,
but I mean, well, hold on. We're have something printed out with Social Security numbers on it.
We're going
to
get.
I have not distributed any document that has Social Security.
Ken, you are going to get the information to Vicki tomorrow regarding. Take the Social Security numbers off, keep them in there. All right, what do you want to do about Resolution 322? I have a personal concern regarding. I'm a business person. I don't think that we as a county should be dictating to anybody what minimum wage should be. All right, I have inherently principles that that's negotiated between the employer and the employee. I have a very tough time setting that standard, but that's me personally.
Move to postpone.
And if these folks are part of a collective bargaining, why would we insert ourselves in the middle of a collective bargaining?
Well, we shouldn't, but we have that opportunity too, if you want to.
Okay.
Tracy?
I don't see the word seasonal in here anywhere. I see temporary, but is seasonal has a technical definition, and because it's not written in here?
There's different job classes, and seasonal wasn't listed as one of those, so they weren't included.
Okay. Rich?
Even though seasonal is temporary?
No, seasonal is a different class than temporary.
Okay.
The issue with collective bargaining agreement, if the state tomorrow made the minimum wage $20 an hour, union and collective bargaining agreements, a local law supersedes them. So if the state has a minimum wage of $20 an hour, Ulster County can't bargain with the unions for $13 an hour. So it really doesn't...
Oh, the state supersedes it.
Any law supersedes it.
You have to go to the minimum.
Right, you'd have to go to the minimum. Exactly. So if the county passed a $15 wage, then they would go to $15. There's no getting in the middle of a collective bargaining. It's bringing them up to what the county law would be for our employees. And then that's all. So I'm just saying, it's not.
Johnson, this is your resolution. Would you kindly move it till next week?
Yes, next week or next month.
Because, next month, probably. Okay.
You know, whether it's only six people or 16 people or 60 people, I read the, and I support the executive when he was in at the wage board hearing, and I have his speech and I have the transcript from it, and it's about time that if we're going to try to save the world, we got to start leading from right here. And it might be an awfully good signal to the world that we're progressive and we care about the people that are servicing us and servicing our county. And if it's only six people, it's a policy that we can live with. And if it's 16 or 60, it's overdue. But we don't have to do this next week. Next month, postpone it.
All right. So
I moved it to postpone.
Mary Beth moved it, postpone it a month.
I'll second.
Second. Any discussion on it? If not, all in favor say aye. And Ken, you've got to get us the information tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Bob, Mr. Sudlow. Oh, we had to take a vote on this? Take a vote on it? Postpone it?
Postpone it.
You already did. Right. No, they did.
Mr. Sudlow.
I'm postponing. You already did that.
Family court update.
Quite frankly, I don't think I can do an update in the amount of time you have left.
No, we got a public hearing. How much time you need?
I would suggest that we have a subcommittee was established that met once.
That subcommittee no longer exists, though, right?
For what?
I have not been informed it does not exist. To my knowledge, it was appointed and existed and met once.
Right, but it was hold on. Please, one conversation. It was a subcommittee of the Ways and Means Committee of last year. Some of those people that served on that subcommittee are no longer on the Ways and Means Committee, so of course they're not on that committee.
He's here to let him have the floor.
I understand that.
I would ask that since we are faced with a significant issue that in whatever time is remaining does not do this topic justice. I've heard tonight folks suggest things are rushed. We're rushed to make decisions. This is a critical decision this body's going to have before. I would ask that a subcommittee be established so people can sit and review the various implications that we're talking about. We are looking at a capital project. We are looking at costs. We're looking at state oversight. There are a myriad of issues that are faced with this, and I think best handled by a subcommittee of this body where we can sit, go through the information, and not just sit and throw questions around.
So, Bob, have you had enough conversations now with court administration to know which way they're going to make us go?
No, this body's got to decide where we're going to go.
But have they made a recommendation?
The court does not make recommendations. We have to come up with a solution that they want to see and approve what's going to happen in family court.
But they have baselines, though, don't they? They don't have minimum requirements for any of it?
Oh, they have their wish list, but that doesn't. And I think that's the discussion this subcommittee, I would suggest, needs to have to look at sites, cost, rental, own, location, size. I mean, they're talking a substantial building. There are three family court judges. They want a fourth courtroom. They want a hearing courtroom. And they also would like the surrogate court to join them. That's substantial things to discuss. And I don't think in 2 or 3 minutes or when public hearings are scheduled that this is not something, again, that should be rushed. It's something that people are really going to sit down and digest, bring some professionals in and discuss what the implications are. It's that critical to me.
No one could agree with you much more. There's no question.
I think we're
not going to do it tonight. We're going to postpone this for a month. We will have a special meeting by the Ways and Means Committee an hour before our Ways and Means Committee in September. At that time, the whole committee will hear what you have to say. And at that time, we'll make a decision if we want a subcommittee to move forward or the whole committee is going to move forward with it. And this is open to all legislators, too.
Is that going to be the first Ways and Means Committee meeting or the second?
It'll be the first Ways and Means Committee.
So it'll be at 4:30.
The notice will go out whenever time it is.
Sorry,
Bob, does that give us you enough time between September and start?
I mean, these are the issues. I mean, the Officer Court Administration wants a solution tomorrow. I think everybody in this room understands whatever the decision is, it's something that's going to be made once and it's going to be a long-term impact that's going to deal with this issue going forward. They're not happy with the space they're in despite the work we've done. They want a new option. They want more space. And I get calls from New York City and Albany on a weekly basis. Where are we? Where are we? Where are we?
We can tell them that we're going to have a meeting to discuss it. This is going to be a very costly proposition. So I think, again, you know, you're right about the time frame that we don't want to rush it. But there again, we appreciate you saying that. I hope you would take it back to the county exec's office and have that been done with every decision that's made, not just this one. But there again,
I think the Ways and Means Committee, particularly, and many of the people at this table were aware of this last year, and there's been no discussion. I went in here 2 months ago and again had about 5 minutes. So I really, really want to stress how important that this body has got to get in with this issue, because there's the chief judge has been down here. I've walked him through buildings and whatever. He wants an answer, and he's not willing to say no right now.
John?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. A year or so ago, didn't you ask legislator Mayo to do this?
Yes, I did.
And so I don't have to go research the local press again. Were you told, great, come in and do it, or were you told it's all set? We don't really need a committee from this legislature to deal with it.
Mary Beth?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You appointed a committee. You were chairman of the committee.
Yeah, and there was nothing going on. We didn't know what boundaries.
You were told to buzz off in a way, but I'll have to go look at the press articles. Mm-hmm. So now we need it again.
I just leave it. It wasn't productive at that time for many reasons, and probably after that it got dropped. And then Richard...
I suggested back in January that we were going to start looking at this.
Right.
We asked Mr. Sudlow at that time if he had any more information. At that time, we didn't have any definite, concrete information to move forward. Correct, Bob? In January, February timeframe.
January was when the renovation was completed.
Right, but I mean, there.
Since then, there's been some substantial input from the state, and we have been trying to come up with some options moving forward, and it's how much do we want to do. And for anybody that's been in that building, it's been renovated, they're still totally unhappy with it.
Alright, so Rich,
when you're finished with this topic, I'd like to just bring something up quick from my resolution last one.
Whoa, we need times of the essence for us.
Alright,
all right. We're going to be 5 minutes late anyway, so that we can get them all one time.
So
hold on, where we stand is we're going to have a meeting. That'll be
September 9th.
Whatever that date is.
September 9th.
Don will send out the time and the date of that meeting. Mr. Sudlow, will you kindly come and address this committee at that time? And it's open to all legislators. All right?
What did you set a date?
September 9th.
September 9th.
Whatever our first meeting is in September.
Because our meeting's at 5.
All right, Rich, quick.
Quick question. Last month we passed a resolution transferring property. The old health building on Flatbush Avenue 2A.
LDC?
LDC. Since then, there's been it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but in Orange County, they did the same thing with their nursing homes, and the judge ruled that it was illegal, and they could not transfer it to the LDC. You needed 3/4 of the vote of the body.
Sorry.
And you can correct me, but if that's the issue, I think we need to revisit that resolution and possibly rescind it until to avoid court costs. And if we can get three-quarters votes, then so be it.
Why would you get three-quarters votes?
Their own rules be different than
no,
our rules?
No, state law says you take
well,
state
first of all, what was the
what
vote?
Was the vote?
It was passed by one vote.
That was the nursing home.
Yeah, but our nursing home passed by one vote 4 years ago.
Right.
So if somebody sued the county today, that could possibly cause a tremendous amount of trouble.
Not anymore. They don't. The time of statute of limitations.
But what's the difference between passing?
Wait, are you talking about a nursing home, or are you talking about
any
the health
piece of property that the county owns?
Okay,
takes three-quarters to sell.
Right.
We didn't
that's
sell it last it, week. We didn't
that's
sell
why
it last week.
Transferred to an LDC.
We transferred it to an LDC.
Exactly.
So what if?
What was the vote count on the LDC of the health department?
There was no LDC vote yet.
There was none.
We just transferred it to the LDC.
We're talking about 300 Flatbush Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over. There's no more.
It's over. There's no more votes to be had for the LDC. I mean, for the
it's
for
owned
the,
by the LDC.
Okay. So what is the case?
Yeah, it hasn't been completed.
But that's what Orange County did. They transferred it to an LDC. The LDC sold it. They said it was an illegal sale because the legislator didn't
vote
on selling it.
But that's just, there's a difference. We're not selling it. We're conveying it to the LDC.
What did Orange County do?
What
did Orange County do?
They didn't sell it either. They conveyed it. And they conveyed
you know this better than I do.
They did the same thing.
Hold on.
Orange County, I think Orange, from again, I'm not 100% certain on this, but my understanding is that Orange County transferred to the to their LDC, and I think at the time that judge basically said, "Well, you know, you legislature, you needed 2/3 of a vote for the LDC to sell it."
That's
that
what he's
right.
saying. That's what you're saying.
Well, when we sold Golden Hill, and that may be a moot point, but it passed by one vote. So either this legislature was people were being dishonest to us about policy, or they didn't know the law, because it's clear if this are we were trying to sell our now Golden Hill and it passed 16-15 or 12-11, it would not count because of what happened. But what I'm getting at,
I'm not, I understand. Can we next week we'll have an answer to the question
but
regarding
we need to change our policy then
300 yeah. Flatbush. If that was already taken, that vote was taken, and what was the vote count of that taken? If it was more than 2/3, it was more than 2/3, then you can't rescind unless somebody brings it
that's
back.
That's fine then.
Okay.
But
what I'm getting at,
in the policy, that's
we may actually have to have an official vote to sell it. Transferring it to an LDC is not selling it. That's what we should clarify anyway with the ruling of the judge.
Clint, can you get us that information for next week?
Yes. And you know, I can tell you what basically the section you're talking about is the non-profit law, otherwise known as the LDC Act, 1411 of New York County law. And basically says the county can do that. And my recollection as Perry is that
James.
I don't think it says anywhere in that particular statute that it has to be 2/3 vote. In that particular statute.
But isn't that what the judge ruled down in Orange County? He said that the transfer was illegal because it wasn't 2/3 vote.
Right, but I think the judge may have been relying on county law 215.
Okay.
In that instance,
listen.
I always thought it was state law.
Clint, can you get us the answer? Thank you very much.
It's a New York state law. County law. We're all governed by the same law. It's my understanding.
Well, all right, he's gonna get us the answer.
Yeah,
I mean, we can talk about that long. Hold on, before we go, we got a few more things. All right, resource recovery budget. I asked to have a copy of their budget for 2016. We have not received it. John, have you received anything from them?
No, but I chatted with them. They wound up, I think, with 14 or 15 towns that are want to go with them.
Guy right. Plenty has
so,
his way.
Pardon?
Oh, what did you say?
Nothing. Keep
not
going.
But anyway, he said we can't have it today. They're recalculating the figures for the number of boxes they have to buy and
their meeting is the 26th.
The trushes. The trucks they may have to purchase, but they're working on it, and it'll be done quickly. But it's not here today, and Leon Smith did call me.
I would suggest strongly, since you're the chairman. Hold on, Jimmy James, that you would write them a letter officially saying that we would like the legislative body a copy of their budget. We were supposed to have it by a period of time ago. We do not have it. So just so that we're doing our job. All right? All right. Anything else about the resource recovery? One other item before we go, or two other items. One, everybody have the various copies of the different revenue performance reports in front of them. Correct? Everybody has a copy of budgetary transfers, and everybody has a copy of the new hire reports. Also, the last item, O'Connor and Davies Controller's Review. It's been a report that, that we have asked O'Connor and Davies to do. I think everybody has any questions regarding this report. I'm not that very happy the way it was done regarding some of the information that was brought up. I thought it would be a little more detailed. I see Elliot Arbach, our county controller, already put out a press release already. It says, all's well that ends well. You know, there again, I would disagree with some of the things in there that he has said, because in the report it said they have identified some irregularities and consistencies they had noted in preparation of timesheets. I hope that the controller's office take that into account and re-look at those timesheets. Excuse me, Rich, come on.
Tracy asked me.
I understand. He can wait to the end of the meeting. We deal with these things in the future, that we don't have these problems for upcoming audits of any type.
We have a copy of that.
Did this go to everybody or just Ways and Means?
What's that?
Yeah, I emailed everybody.
Everybody has a copy of that. So in saying that, anyone else have any comments regarding this? Carl?
Just one, and I mentioned it to Joe before the meeting. I said if we're going to require most of our employees to use the biometric time clock system, then we should also county department heads, everybody should use it, because that would dispel any rumors or about timesheets being, you know, not filled out correctly or whatever. Thumbprint here, thumbprint there. And the other thing is, it's a safety issue. We have I think it's called Kronos, the program. Let's say there's a fire in the building at 10 o'clock. They know who punched in, so you know exactly how many people are in the building if they haven't punched out yet. Why can't we do it for everybody, not just the rank and file? It should be throughout the county. Everyone needs to punch in through the biometric time clock.
Mr. Chairman, may I address that briefly?
Yes, you may.
We have actually addressed that issue, in fact, prior to even this inquiry by O'Connor Davies with BERT Finance. The issue with the biometric, and we would not resist a countywide system. We think that's also wise. The issue with the biometric system is that, my understanding is, the county still has some problems with the way that system functions, and before they make it something that's used countywide, they want to make sure that the system works. The other thing that I'll say, now, and again, we have no skin in that game. If the county were to adopt it countywide, we would be happy to comply, and we would recommend that everybody do that. But the one thing I do want to say is that all of the comments that are made in the report about our timekeeping procedures, there's not one thing that they talk about that maybe we perhaps should have known, that any unit of county government actually knows about their employees or where they are. And the biometric, adopting the biometric system wouldn't change that one bit. And actually, it is pretty clear that despite some gratuitous language, O'Connor Davies does in fact find, quite properly so, that we are in compliance with county procedures on timekeeping. But the idea of a countywide timekeeping system makes perfect sense to us. We'd be happy to talk to the legislature or the executive's office about developing standards and practices in that regard.
Any other questions?
Motion to adjourn.
Hold on. Any other questions first? No? All right. Motion to adjourn. Second? All in favor, say aye. Thank you.
I'm sorry. 4,600. This lady is trying to